It's the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. Welcome to today's AdventCast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer, let your petitions be made known to God. You have favored, O Lord, your land. You have restored the well-being of Jacob. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer, let your petitions be made known to God. From the Church's Year of Grace by Pius Parsh. Because of its important bearing on the Sunday, the introit merits further consideration. It has three parts: the lead idea, the Lord is near, the exhortation to rejoice, and the moral lesson. The Lord is near. This nearness constitutes the focal point of today's liturgy and is our primary motive for joy. Yet we may ask, what is its specific implication from a practical viewpoint? Earlier I suggested that instead of the word Lord, we should say the kingdom of God. It is easier for us to desire grace, the kingdom of God, than to await the Savior. Therefore, today's message is, the kingdom of God is near, it is in our midst, in fact, it is within us. This kingdom is not something externally visible, but something entirely interior, holy, supernatural. It is neither morality, nor virtue, nor freedom from sin. It is life, that higher life, which is unaffected by physical death. It is that spiritual light which banishes blindness from the soul. It is peace and love and truth. It is the most precious treasure imaginable, and carried in our frail bodies. It is the triune God himself who abides in his kingdom. Now this kingdom is not far distant, it is within us. Where two or three members of the mystical body are gathered, there the body is also, for the members cannot exist apart from the body. This holds true for the family, the community, the parish, the diocese, the entire church. And where the body is, there also is the head, there also is Christ. Let us cultivate a lively awareness that the kingdom of God is actually tangible in the church and in the family, that Christ stands in our midst. Rejoice! The above reflections give solid basis to our rejoicing. The kingdom of God is our highest good. Had we but a strong faith in this doctrine, all the troubles of life could not dampen our joy. The kingdom of God is the foundation of Christian optimism. The Christian, then, should be a bearer of peace, radiating joy. Only a person in the state of grace can experience true joy, and who, if not the Christian, can be expected to preserve this heavenly gift for the world. A true, deep joy here is the earnest of heavenly joy hereafter. The moral lesson. It is not theologically accurate to place the full essence of Christianity in upright moral living, doing good and avoiding evil. Morality is not the ultimate. The essence of Christian life is the kingdom of God, supernatural grace. Morality is a necessary sequel, since we are privileged to have God living in our hearts and to have his kingdom developing within us. It follows that we must live virtuously. How nobly we would live if we were convinced of bearing God's kingdom within us. We would be models of that modestia spoken of in the introit. The word almost defies translation: modesty, decency, good conduct. Let your noble Christian bearing be known to all men. That lofty conviction would produce a second effect, that is, absence of anxious concern over daily needs. God, our Father, will provide. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest will be added. One final admonition. If you really have cares, you still retain a powerful means of help. Lighten your heavy heart through prayer. God lives in his kingdom within your soul. He will not ignore you.